Can you hear me? Okay? I feel.
Yeah.
I hear you just fine.
Okay.
Listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
The whole gang is back together today.
The gang's all here.
The gang's also here. We're all in studio, which honestly
you
is a rare.
You can probably tell that.
Well, yeah.
Like the listeners.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. This swirling portal that just opened behind me. Like the seventh seal opened.
Episode.
Preview of an upcoming radio theater.
Okay. Aww. Listeners, listen carefully. Do I sound happy?
Do you normally not sound happy when we're recording?
She usually sounds just forlorn.
Forlorn.
So sad.
I'm glad to be here, but I wish I could be there in person. Guess what? I'm here in person.
She's here in person.
Four of us. Have all four of us ever been in this studio post-renovation of this studio? I don't think so.
No. Mm. Wow.
Because this is that special podcast studio that you have thanks to the LWML, correct?
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, LWML. Everyone clap for the LWML right now.
It's beautiful.
We still have a sign up in the corner that says, thanks, LWML. Look at what you did for
Eternal
us.
Eternal gratitude.
Yeah, because the last, you know, when we all four were together in person was pre-COVID, and that was 7 years ago.
What's COVID again? What is that?
You don't want to know.
Okay. No.
Mm-mm. Ask your father.
Go ask your pa.
Anyway, the reason we're all here today is because this is a Leading Lady Oddball Leadership episode with Bree. This is a part two to the part one we did. I don't even know when that was. It was a few months ago, I think.
It was a few months ago.
Yeah. You presented us with your oddball leadership philosophy and it was excellent and really fun. And then we were like, oh, hey, there's more to that.
There's so much more. So there's been quite a bit of development on the oddball leadership front. And I've also been able to flesh out some more of the philosophy and like better verbalize what it is.
Yeah.
So you said you were able to better verbalize your philosophy and the editor and me just did a happy dance inside. That's beautiful.
Uh-huh. Listen.
Poetry.
Process improvement. I'm all about that life.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Tell us more, Brie.
So when I was here last, I was talking about the values of oddball leadership and I have four of them, and unfortunately, I didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about one of them. I realized that as we were wrapping, what I realized I forgot to talk about was curiosity.
Yes.
So here are the four values of oddball leadership, and these are the things that inform a leadership style that when you lead with them, it allows you to bring a more authentic version of yourself to the workplace. So my four values of oddball leadership, we have belonging as the foundation where everyone feels like they can bring their most authentic self to the workplace. So that is the thing from which everything else, the rest of the workplace culture flows. You have gratitude and appreciation as your response. As a leader, you acknowledge that the work that you do cannot be done on your own. The work that you do is only as good as the team you lead. And so showing appreciation to your staff in a way that is meaningful for them is very important. Curiosity as the equalizer. Obviously, when you're in a workplace, there are power dynamics and org charts and hierarchy, and that's all well and good. But I think when you bring an element of curiosity to a discussion, it sort of level sets and allows people to have those difficult discussions. And then finally, joy is the motivator. I think especially in the nonprofit sector, particularly in like social service settings, like even when you are in the administrative section of things, when you're administrative operations, fundraising, for example, especially in the social service sector, you are dealing with individuals and circumstances that can be very hard to deal with, can be very discouraging. And so to keep an element of joy in the work that you do makes that work tolerable. And without joy, I mean, you don't really have a leg to stand on, honestly. It's what makes the work doable. So I feel like I talked specifically, wow. The editor and you did not love that.
My face is pursed right now.
So I think we really talked a lot about belonging and joy in the last episode. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like we gave enough real estate to curiosity. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, especially in this time and place of political division and like on the heels of convention and just mm-hmm. in the world that we live in today, we don't approach things, I think, with enough curiosity, because I think that is the thing that helps us become closer individuals despite whatever differences we mm-hmm. might have.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel like is, in this context, what's the opposite? See, we don't approach with enough curiosity. What's on the other end of that?
So I think...
Is it assumptions?
Yes. I think specifically in the workplace, when we're talking about approaching situations with curiosity, and I'm coming at this from the leader perspective. Mm-hmm. If I'm not approaching things with curiosity, I think in a more traditional structure, I probably have more leeway to jump to conclusions than maybe somebody who is reporting to me. I have more of that leeway. I have more of that luxury. I think being able to jump to conclusions about things and sort of react impulsively is a more acceptable way to react to something as a leader than maybe those who are not in a position of leadership. And so when we approach things with curiosity as leaders, it does two things. It keeps us from being impulsive and reacting impulsively, saying things and doing things that we will regret later. Mm-hmm. Even if the person that you're speaking with was, you know, in the wrong or did some kind of misstep in their work, that level of curiosity and getting to the bottom of why something transpired the way that it did allows you to check your assumptions and to humble you, because there may be circumstances that you're not aware of that led to this misstep.
I love what you say there about you use the word humble, mm-hmm. because I think there is a lot of humility in what you're talking about, this idea that I don't know everything,
yep. mm-hmm.
that there's more that I can learn, and that the first step in any conversation really is thoughtful questions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. that, and that has been something I've been growing into. I like to talk. You know this. I think I know talking. It all. I know a lot of it. I don't know all of it. But as I get older, I'm beginning to see the value of stopping my sentence and asking a question. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how people respond so much differently, mm-hmm. so differently when you express curiosity in who they are,
yep.
and in what they think about things, that is such a bridge builder, such a wall tumbler,
yep.
that they will open up in a different way when you ask them a question than if you tell them everything you know, which may be substantial.
Mm. Correct.
But it may not matter.
So yeah, I appreciate you highlighting the importance of humility and its connection to curiosity.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because if you dare to be curious, you are also daring to admit, I don't know it all yet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Which is where I think the gratitude and appreciation ties in, because I lead a team of 7 people. I can't tell you how to do their jobs. I don't know.
There's a reason you hired them for those jobs.
Correct.
Because they do them well.
I know that's right. Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, you're absolutely right. I think admitting to not knowing everything really goes hand in hand with being curious. So mm-hmm. to go back to your question, Aaron, I think that it helps you check your assumptions, and it keeps you from being impulsive, saying things and doing things that mm-hmm. may feel good in the moment, but later might be like, I really shouldn't have said that. I really shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. That's not the best way to have difficult conversations.
Yeah.
For example,
there's overlap here with spiritual care too. A lot of what we've learned, and I'm just in, I'm still baby level of deaconess school. So, but what we've learned in talking to people about theology and having difficult conversations yes. with people who are struggling with stuff, like jumping in and giving your, this is what you should do before asking them questions and asking what they know, asking the background, asking the context. That is all like almost everything, almost every question we've had in our assignments about like, how would you respond to this person that has a question? Almost every time it's like, I would ask them why they want to know or what their context is or where they got this idea from, like asking more context in order to have better answer, better replies, a more well-rounded response, have a conversation, understand more of where yeah. they're coming from. So yeah. it's, I mean, when you're a spiritual caregiver, you're probably also a leader in some capacity to the church.
100%.
So like there's a lot of overlap here, regardless of where the leadership is happening. If you're in a corporate environment, if you're a pastor, if you're a pastor listening to this, a DCE, a teacher, a deaconess, like there are places.
A teacher, a youth group leader, a yeah. coach, yeah. a mom.
Right.
You know, we're yes. leadership shows up in many different forms.
100. And spiritual care happens in all of those places.
Yes, true.
You don't have yeah. to be a called worker yeah. to be yeah. applying spiritual care in situations. So mm-hmm. this idea of curiosity has yeah. just so much application.
And, I, you know, think about if you are in a position of leadership, whatever that vocation may be. Yes, we're all sinful, fallen human beings, but I also don't necessarily know that we're wired to like nefariously mess up at work constantly yeah. on purpose, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's just the
it's
way
rare.
That it is.
Rarer right? than you would think.
Correct, correct. You'd have to be a special kind of person to wake up every morning and be like, how can I completely screw up my job like perpetually for 8 hours?
I will choose violence every day.
Some people just want to watch the world burn, right?
Yeah.
And I just think of times where I've maybe had somebody who reports to me just making these mistakes. And instead of like getting mad about it, there's so much value in like taking that person aside mm-hmm. instead of berating them in public, which I don't know about you, but I've been there as mm-hmm. somebody on the receiving end of that. That yep. doesn't feel great.
Yeah. I can feel my face flush.
Correct. Like,
right
like
now.
You feel yeah. like you're being spanked in like public, like corporal punishment.
Mm-hmm. We're all thinking of scenarios.
We all have one, mm-hmm. but there is so much power. Maybe that's not the right word. There's so much value in bringing someone aside and instead of getting upset at them being like, hey, like, are you good? What's going on? Or is everything mm-hmm. fine at home? Are you?
Did you understand the assignment?
Correct. Yeah. What have I not provided you with mm-hmm. to be successful mm-hmm. at this work?
Yeah, a lot of times that's happened to me. It's because my boss, not here, but in previous
Andy.
It's not Andy. Andy's great, but
everyone clap for Andy right now. Actually,
Andy's a fabulous boss. But when this has happened to me, a lot of times it has been because I was not set up for success. And like not to be, mm-hmm. not to play the victim. But like if you're a leader and you have people, it is also kind of your responsibility to
correct.
Make sure they have the tools
I,
to mm-hmm. do their job. And that right. was not happening. And then we were being yelled at for not being set
I cannot
up.
Imagine a world in which Sarah Gilseth would not want to do her best work and like succeed at a job.
100.
So if uh-huh. you are not succeeding at a job, chances are there's something else going on.
Yeah, there
because
was
that is not your default. Yeah.
And I it was terrible. I hated everything.
I want to key into something that you said. You said not to victimize yourself. And I think there's a difference between victimizing yourself for the sake of just playing the victim. Yeah. And I think there is speaking the truth of mm-hmm. like, this was facts. This mm-hmm. is what happened. Mm-hmm. I was called out for something that I was not prepared to do. That's just the reality of it. That's yeah. not making yourself a victim out mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. And great. Honestly, like shame on your, whoever this person is, like shame on them for being iron fisted about it or whatever, however it was that they acted without having the knowledge or the self-awareness to know that actually the person who's like doing the yelling, like that was kind of on you. Mm-hmm. That was that's the moment where you're not choosing humility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. the moment where you're choosing power and retribution and just that's not
passing the buck.
That's not being yeah. an oddball leader.
Right.
Guys.
This person was not an oddball
this
leader.
Person was not that.
Mm-hmm. No.
And I think, too, something to keep in mind as we approach things with curiosity. And this, I think, sort of goes back to the culture that we live in now. Regardless of who you are, what you believe in, who you voted for, we as human beings, I think this is just like a human condition thing, is like we desperately want everything to be black and white. We don't like nuance. We don't like ambiguity. And as Christians, there are things that, yeah, they're black and white, as we are told in God's word. Mm-hmm. And yet when we are coexisting with other broken, sinful humans in this world, we have to make space for not everything is a black and white situation. And so when you approach these things with curiosity, you can have better relationships with people because you're sort of leaning into that, the fact that there is ambiguity, the fact that there is nuance. And then you feel motivated then to ask those questions.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here's something that I have encountered as an oddball leader and as somebody who just generally approaches things with curiosity most of the time. Not everybody that you encounter is going to like that. They're not going to be open to the fact that you are questioning them, or some people just want like, okay, I messed up. Mm-hmm. Give me my 40 lashings and then I'll do better.
Slap me on the wrist and let me go.
Right, right. Yeah. Like just yell at me for 5 seconds and then we can just move past this. Mm-hmm. And so yep. I think this is where one of the other values, this whole idea of belonging, mm-hmm. which I think is sort of underwritten by, you know, this concept of psychological safety, where if I'm asking you questions, there's not an ulterior motive there. There's not, it's not me trying to make you feel stupid or like trying to
be able to convict you, like, haha, now I have what I need so that I can hold it over you.
I'm not getting information out of somebody. Like that's not the goal mm-hmm. of asking questions. So if somebody at work, we'll go back to that, they transgress, there's some kind of misstep, they say something inappropriate to a coworker that, you know, you need to correct them on, by leaning into that, and yes, it's going to be uncomfortable, like you have to lean into that discomfort, mm-hmm. but discomfort is not lack of safety. Mm-hmm. Discomfort is not harm. And so by making that clear to people, right, and by asking questions, getting to the bottom of, okay, well, say more about why you said this, where was it coming from, sort of what was the intent, what made you feel like it was okay to say that? Like there are go-to phrases that you can use to get to drill deeper down into the mind of somebody, into their intentions, to figure out why they did the thing that they did. Now, when you do ask those questions, it's also great because it allows them time mm-hmm. to reflect on, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, maybe I messed up. Like the reason that we're talking about this, there's probably something to this. But shoring up your office culture with that sense of belonging and that sense of safety, mm-hmm. you know, I'm asking questions for your benefit and for the benefit of the team, that's going to get you far. So if you are talking with a stranger, right, and you're having a conversation, I mean, I wrote a blog post on curiosity, and one of the stories that I brought up was a conversation that was happening. I recall meeting something with curiosity. It was a hot button issue. It was maybe racism or some just hot button theological topic, maybe, I don't recall. But I remember trying to engage with somebody that with curiosity, and this person did not receive it well.
Yeah.
And so I had to reflect on that moment and say, "You know what? I did not ensure the safety of this person. This person was a stranger. I didn't necessarily have the right to approach this person and their firmly held beliefs with curiosity." Mm-hmm. See, when you do use curiosity, you have to bring also an element of situational awareness because otherwise
read the room
because otherwise it's going to potentially like blow up.
Yeah, there's a fine line between genuine loving curiosity and interrogation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And especially on the internet, that line is real blurry.
I mean, even if it is like genuine curiosity, well-intended curiosity, somebody might not receive it that way. Right. And so you have to accept that that is going to sometimes happen.
Yeah. Some people are going to look at your curiosity and say, well, that's patronizing.
Correct.
Or you're just looking for weaknesses so you can fire back at me. Or, you know, there's all sorts of ways in which it can go sideways.
100 Agreed.
Mm-hmm. But that's why, you know, all of these values are really steeped in love.
Yes.
You know, and so, yeah, I would, if I am, while I'm gradually learning the art of asking the right question or asking questions at all, shutting up and asking questions, it is true that if somebody's not open to answering those questions.
Or just receiving the curiosity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just move on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can trust and curiosity be built at the same time? Because we're talking about having belonging and we're talking about being curious. But if someone is in a new situation or trying to build a new culture, is this a cart before the horse kind of thing? In your experience, in your opinions, how does that work when you're like, say you're a leader in a new position, you want curiosity, but you know you have to have psychological safety and trust and belonging. Do you have to build that first before you can start being curious? Or can you like package deal them get a 2-for-1?
In my experience, I think you have to build that foundation first.
Yeah.
I really do. Now, of course, there may be times where you have to reprimand somebody and that trust isn't there yet. And so being clear about why a correction is happening, being clear about why a certain action is being taken, not to make them like feel bad or feel guilty or like, you know, rake them over the coals. Correction should always be in a spirit of protecting the person from causing future harm, making future missteps, protecting their livelihood, not to make them feel like, oh, you're a jerk because you messed up and you did this thing.
Right.
It's like, no, let's use this as an opportunity to build ourselves up, do better in the future, and move forward. And I think when you address situations like that more gently, when there isn't trust, that's going to build up that sense of trust, that sense of psychological safety. And then I think the curiosity then becomes second nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so interesting you mentioned the importance of trust in these sorts of interactions, because when you are express curiosity towards somebody, you are inviting them to be honest, to be open, and ultimately to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And if they don't trust that you have their best interest at heart, if they don't trust that your questions come from a place of love and compassion, they're going to just close up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because that, you know, openness requires trust.
Vulnerability is so scary.
Oh, isn't it?
Terrifying.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
It really is. And to sort of like normalize that too, right? To be able to do that. So yeah, I mean, just bearing in mind that there are, like, yes, we should be approaching especially difficult conversations with curiosity, but that is such a rarity, I feel like, in the workplace that I think that's what makes it a value of oddball leadership, is so often we don't have leaders who are exemplifying that.
Yeah.
So it's not the most well-received thing if you're working with a team who's not used to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being curious also requires a level of vulnerability too. Like the person actually asking the questions is also walking into a space of vulnerability, because you don't know what you're going to get back from that person.
True.
And whatever they say, you're going to have to deal with that.
Yep. In sometimes a way what that, they say, you can't unhear it.
Right. Or it's like way worse than you thought. Or it's something completely unrelated and you had no idea it was coming. So you also, when you're asking questions and you're being curious, you also have to be aware of your own strengths and weaknesses and be willing to take on whatever they're going to tell you. And reply to them in a way that is compassionate.
Especially
and
if you feel convicted in what they tell you. If they're like, actually,
yeah, because it might be something
you,
that you
weren't
did.
Setting me up for success.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. Nobody ever told me.
Right.
And then you feel like, oh, that's on me.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. So it is vulnerable for everybody.
Correct.
Yeah. But that's also, I mean, it's a point of growth for everybody then. And basing it on psychological safety and trust, if both of you know that whatever they say, you're going to be able to handle it in a way that is compassionate and upholds this culture of trust, then everybody's going to be better off in the long run if you have that ability to do that in your conversations.
100. And if you are modeling that as a leader, as an oddball leader, part of your job also is to hold the rest of your team accountable to make sure that as they're interacting with one another, as they may be having disagreements or difficult discussions, they also, outside of your earshot or knowledge, like they are still approaching things with curiosity as well. So as you are exemplifying any of these values, one of the things that you also have to ensure as a leader is that the others amongst you are seeing that example and are carrying that out with one another.
Yep.
Even if you're not there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which one of the is, I always get it mixed up because it's one of the uncomfortable parables, but it's like, is the parable of the unfaithful servant?
Oh,
but the one like the
steward.
Yeah. Like he got into major debt with his master.
Yes.
And then the master is like, throw him in jail. And the servant's like, please have mercy on me and I'll pay it off. And the master I'll forgive your debt. It's fine.
One. Yeah.
And then he went out and as the leader, as you said, so then he interacted with the next person down and he was like, give me what you owe me. You got to pay it back. And he didn't. So he threw him in jail and the others were like, what's going on?
And
but
the initial dude was like, wait a minute. What's
the uncomfortable parables? Like, it's the ones that were like, ugh, that's a weird one.
Yes.
But it has application here in what you
100%
were just
saying. Very much so.
100.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
And I think one of the things for me as an oddball leader is, okay, as I'm living this out, I hope people are taking notes, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I can do my part in showing people, even if it's just the 7 people on my team, showing them that there's a better way to lead, regardless of like what color my hair is, or if I'm wearing popsicle pants, or like whatever it is that I do, if I have, you know, fanciful tchotchkes in my cubicle.
Yes.
Like all of that doesn't matter. That's like background noise. I might be, you know, towing the line of the dress code, but if I'm leading with belonging, gratitude, appreciation, curiosity, and joy, you can be anybody and do those things. And that, to me, is the best way to lead a team.
Yeah. I want to circle back to what you said about accountability, because even though a lot of this is applicable in a lot of different contexts, from family and friends to casual acquaintances you meet at a cocktail party. Be curious about those people, by the way. They have big stories. But what you are actually, like, the core application of this is in the corporate world, where you are not trying to establish a culture where everyone is best friends. I'm sorry, Sarah. KFUO is an outlier there.
100.
In most
we
organizations.
We have such a great culture, guys.
That is not the case. But what you are hoping, I think, to instill, and correct me if I'm wrong, is a deeper level of collegiality than most people have ever known. And the whole point of that is not only to have a positive work culture where people actually want to come to work, but what's the reason we come to work? Excellence?
Mm-hmm.
Getting the job done?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think your working theory here is that if we build that deeper collegiality, not that we're going to get together on the weekend and paint each other's nails,
right,
but we are going to be the best possible colleagues to honor the vocation of colleague.
100%.
While we are working together, that is going to help each one of us do the job better and fulfill our purpose as employees.
That's how you get high-performing, impactful, effective teams.
Oh, good. I'm glad I'm right here.
You nailed it. You did a great job. You did a great job. And also, like, it acknowledges everyone's humanity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I may be sitting in the big chair, but my blood is as red as the person whose timesheet I sign every week. Like, Yeah, you need that perspective. You need that acknowledgement to build that collegiality and have that shared purpose, that common purpose. And if you can walk in lockstep with one another because you've embodied those values, like, congratulations, you've made it to leadership. I almost said leadership nirvana, but leadership heaven, question mark? Leadership paradise?
Hmm. Yeah, it's not better. But yeah, I think some people would listen to this and say, you know, all of this oddball leadership philosophy and would say, well, that all sounds very good. I'm sure your employees are very happy, but how are you keeping everyone on task? What does that actually have to do with fulfilling the mission? Because some people would feel like this sort of relational leadership style mm-hmm. would be ineffective. Is that what you've found? Do you have to choose between being an oddball and getting the job done?
No. And I think, too, the way that oddball leadership is expressed is going to look different for different people. Mm. You can still, quote unquote, run a tight ship, right? What looks to be, it may not look like oddball leadership on the surface. But again, when you are building a workplace culture that values the four tenets or whatever, it can look however it wants to look. If you have a team that feels like they belong, they feel appreciated, they know that, you know, when they mess up, it's going to not be met with a reprimand and a pip and getting fired immediately. It's going to be met with curiosity. And when you know that your leader wants to motivate you with joy, they don't want to dangle a carrot in front of you or use a stick to beat you into submission to do a good job. That's oddball leadership. It doesn't have to look like KFUO. Love you guys. Love your parties. You guys are it.
Like, we do like to have fun.
You're the blueprint for, like, you're the fun aunt of the international center.
Everyone does want to work for us.
But like, it can look vastly different. You could be the most effective widget maker team in a corporation and you're still leading with curiosity, belonging, joy, mm-hmm. and gratitude.
Yeah. So are there, as you've been developing this, have you started trying to identify organizations or companies that seem to be embodying these principles where you're like, even if they don't realize it, like you're like, ooh, I can see how they are doing this. Have you done, have you like tried to identify any sort of case studies yet?
I haven't done a huge deep dive. I think mm-hmm. that's the dream is okay. to like, like find those. I did uh-huh. hear a very interesting, I think it was a This American Life episode mm-hmm. about,
is it Zappos?
No, it was a. It
that's
was
a case that it comes up in every leadership course. I mean, just Google Zappos company culture. You'll
Zappos
see what I mean.
Company culture. I mean, yes, to a degree. I feel like that is to like the nth degree. But he was Ira Glass was interviewing somebody who was like he was like a manager in at like a Six Flags, and he ran like the games department. Mm-hmm. Like he didn't do mm-hmm. the rides, he didn't do the entertainment, he didn't do the concessions. He did like the baseball at the milk jugs, like games, like those games. And the way that he ran his ship built so much joy and camaraderie that like it's, I don't necessarily know that it's businesses so much as it's people like mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. doing the thing for mm-hmm. their five people. Uh-huh. And maybe someday we can like, quote unquote, evangelize it enough to permeate its way through a corporate culture. That's kind of like, that's kind of what I want to do with my life is like influencing uh-huh. corporate culture uh-huh. to do these things. But yes, to answer your question, I want to be able to do that. And when I do identify those, I try to make a note. But uh-huh. the most recent example are those people who are sort of doing the work without it really being named. And it's having these powerful impacts on uh-huh. people.
Yeah. The store where I get my supplements from, you can tell that they're embodying what you're talking about just by the way that the people interact with you when you walk in mm-hmm. to grab your stuff. And they're happy to see you. Mm-hmm. They've got like toys and pictures of their families in all their cubicles. You can tell that they have joy, they have belonging, they have psychological safety. They have curiosity because it's just from the way that they interact with me. So like it exists.
Yes.
And it may be in the most random places.
Correct.
That's a supplement company.
This is like a car wash. Like a car wash. Like, but that it makes could be anywhere.
Difference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It makes a difference to internally and if you're a B2C versus a B2B. Sorry.
Business to consumer.
If you're outward facing, like some sort of customer service company or something, you can tell.
Yes.
When you interact
with organizational
them.
Leader Sorry. Masters. Okay. But I honestly, like, I can't tell any of you what to do, including the listeners out there, but I would love to meet more people like me. Or if you feel like you are an oddball leader, like, please email me. Mm-hmm. Brie@oddballleadership.com.
Or if you work for,
yes,
if you work
right.
for a place,
yes.
that you're like, yes, this group,
Brie
we
is
are
curious.
Doing
I'm curious. I would love to meet more of my people. Absolutely, yeah. Because there's got to be a formula of some kind,
right?
Yeah,
like learning more about this, like what makes people, what predisposes them to being an oddball leader.
Yeah, I am curious. I say that all the time.
You win.
So, okay, half of this, if you've done Working Genius, I think people who are in the wonder category, maybe invention, maybe discernment. So like the first half of the widget Working Genius model, well, we can, it's, I don't want to explain
that.
The whole
was
thing.
Another
We've done a
episode.
Whole episode
We've
on
done
it.
A whole episode
on
I
this.
Still don't understand it, but I love that you love
You're
it.
You're a wonder. So,
what am I though?
I am a wonder. Thank you for acknowledging
also
that.
Also a wonder, definitely. But I think if you're at the beginning of that widget, if you're naturally a person who thinks about things and asks questions and is in that space all the time, it's far easier for you to implement this because that's just how you operate. So what do you do if you're that person, if you're a leader and you're that person who does not function in the widget in the first part, you're a tenacity person where all you care about, not all you care about, the space that you love living
Spoken
in.
Like a wonder.
I know. What you care about is checking the boxes and making sure the work is getting done. And you could wonder, but you kind of don't care. You're nice about it, but like, you're like, I don't know, just do your work. What do those people do to embody this curiosity, even if it might hurt them internally?
Well, I think you need to keep the main thing the main thing. If you want a high-powered, effective team.
Yeah.
And we see that this is a formula that works. You build that culture with your team.
Mm-hmm. So it's a...
If you want to check the boxes, be an oddball leader.
So you... So you, curiosity is more couched as like a tool that you're using in order to get the tenacity if it's not something that comes naturally to you.
Yes.
Because those people are great and we love them because they're the ones that corral the wonders and make sure we're actually getting the work done. Mm-hmm. But it's more of a chore for them to be in this space of wanting to know more because it's just not how they function.
Well,
but it's a tool and you're right.
You can use it. You can look at it like an ends situation or you can look at it like a means situation. Right? If your end is to make 500 widgets before the end of the day, you know several ways that you can do that if you're following along, right?
Yeah.
And so that's your means.
Yep.
That's your means. If you care more about like the wonderment of it all and culture building and like that's your jam, like that's your ends.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sarah's question has led me to a different question.
Yes, let's go. Curiosity train.
I love curiosity so much.
You're not going to like this question as much.
Oh, no. I love it.
It sounds like curiosity-based leadership style is very well suited to supervisors and employees who enjoy chatting with one another. And Sarah's description of the tenacity person who's just like, this meeting could have been an email, but since it wasn't, can we please just get back to our actual jobs now? And I appreciate that you're curious about me, but
I got work to do, guys.
I got work to do, and so do you probably. Like, how do you answer that? Is this a leadership strategy that works for every person, or are there times and places where you have to say, okay, I get it. This is not your thing. I'll find another way.
So I think when you're somebody like that, you need to sort of do an audit of the things that you have to do as a boss, right? If you have to reprimand somebody, you can inject curiosity. You're going to have to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Right. What can you do? What can you do?
If you have to file a report, you'll have to have the information.
Right.
So you'll have to ask the questions.
How do you want to have this conversation? And it doesn't have to be a TED talk, right? you can ask, you can approach a performance improvement plan situation or a corrective action plan situation with curiosity, right? It doesn't have to, you don't have to spend hours of your time chatting around the water cooler to be considered a curious workplace culture, mm-hmm, right?
Right.
But if you are meeting someone in a one-on-one, even if you're just meeting someone in a one-on-one and you're, you know, trying to find out, okay, what did you actually do this week? You don't have to say it like that, right? Yeah. Like, you don't have to be, okay, are you doing all the things you got to do? Okay, wrap it up. Let's go, right? Like, presence is important. And so in the times where you are present, the things you're going to have to do anyway, it may take some time to like get used to approach things with curiosity in that way. But I guarantee you that in those moments where you're going to have to do the thing, mm-hmm, doing it with curiosity instead of jumping to conclusions or making assumptions on something, that's going to save your skin too as a leader.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it can also help you make more informed decisions. I'm reminded of an interaction I had earlier today. I'm visiting the International Center and I happened to walk down, and one of the things that they do every month that I normally miss out on because I'm remote is they put all the cover designs, print them out full color, life size, and tack them up on the wall with push pins. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to be able to see them. Mm-hmm. And this time it was so wonderful not just to look at it and go, ooh, all right, number three choice, number two choice, number one choice, let's see what everyone else thinks, but to actually walk through them with the designer who, you know, had overseen their creation.
To hear like the little things that they were trying to communicate.
And yes, I was, you know, it was my delight to ask questions. So which one do you like?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What was your thought process behind this? What should I be noticing in this design that you see that I don't?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like what's mm-hmm. going on right. here? And how can that help me to make a better decision about which cover is going to go on the front right. of the magazine simply by asking questions and lingering over the conversations mm-hmm. that result from that. Yeah. And I learn a lot about design theory from conversations
yes,
like that.
Yes,
I
learn design and grow. Theory!
And
I love it.
In the time that it takes for you to ask that approach, that more palatable, approachable question, you also could have been like, why did you choose that color for page 7? Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's not going to take you any more time mm-hmm. out of your day to ask it in a more curious way. Mm-hmm. You're not saying that's what you were getting at, but that's how some leaders want, like,
yeah.
if they want to get down to business, they're going to ask it that way. And it's like, no, you don't. You don't have to ask it that mm-hmm. way.
Yeah. You're assuming competence of the
Correct.
People you hire.
Yes.
When you ask questions in
Bold
a way.
Bold assumption.
No, it's not. No. You hired people for a reason.
Right.
And if you're mm-hmm. curious about why they're doing something, that is assuming that they're actually competent enough to do the thing you hired them for, yep. which hopefully they are. So, and or you'll learn that they're not.
Correct.
I don't know.
So if it is not the, that the level of a belonging is not fully there yet, if the level of curiosity is not fully there yet, if you are not the leader at the top implementing, but you are somewhere in the middle, what are your thoughts on how you could still try and influence in this direction to bring more of this kind of culture into a place when you aren't actually the one at the top who has the most influence? The, you know, that is how our structures usually are. But how do you do that?
That's a good question.
Middle?
What if you're not an oddball leader?
Yeah.
What if you're an oddball bottom of the heap employee?
Yeah.
Is curiosity still a good tool for you?
So for four easy payments of $49, because this is what I want. This is it. This is my life's work.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
So yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Middle managers need more support in this arena for sure. And bottom feeders needs more support in this arena for sure. I am going to answer your question. Mm-hmm. You are not being paywalled for real right
no,
now.
No, I did not. This was not a setup. This was an honest question.
You know
question.
We have no budget,
listeners. This was an honest question. I did not
None of this
expect
is scripted,
this
guys.
Reaction.
Okay. It's no pays people in love and lollipops.
Correct. I love it.
We'll do a trade deal. That's about
we'll
it.
Do a trade deal. We'll do a trade deal. When you are a middle manager, the motivation has to come from within, mm-hmm. right? And it can start with subtle changes. I think understanding what the model is, what the formula is, and making those subtle changes from within yourself as you are leading, as you are doing your work, as you are guiding and mentoring people, mm-hmm. and coming into your own as an oddball leader, you will begin to influence the people around you. And I think when you are dealing with, when you are answering to the folks that are above you that are maybe not giving you the same kind of grace, they're not treating you with that same level of curiosity. Mm-hmm. That's just something that you have to accept. And I think that's why middle managers need to be better equipped for this kind of mm-hmm. positioning. Mm-hmm. I tend to be of the mind that if your focus is on having an effective, high-performing team that is going to do the thing that they were hired to do, middle management or upper management is probably not going to ding you for approaching things a certain way that doesn't necessarily look like a traditional method of leadership. At least that's been my experience, mm-hmm. right?
As long as the work is getting done.
If the work is getting done.
And maybe even mm-hmm. better because you're mm-hmm. actually like creating a great culture.
Correct. And like, here I am tooting my own horn. Fine. Like, I feel like my team within Mission Advancement has a great culture, right? Everyone on my team is very enthusiastic. Everyone, I feel like, and I feel like they came like this preloaded. Like they already had the values of oddball leadership. Like it has not been difficult whatsoever for me. So I talk about this like, oh yeah, just start doing it, whatever.
We're pretty good in this building nowadays about hiring for culture. So yes. That does across the board.
Agreed.
That does set everybody up for success when you start there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think when you aren't managing anybody, but you can still be an on-ball leader and not have any supervisory responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Because in addition to creating high-performing effective teams with this method, you're also changing the culture. Mm-hmm. And so if you can use this method to like positively influence, it may not float all the way up to the top, but if you can be that person for the coworkers around you,
yeah.
you're still going to be changing the culture in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think curiosity particularly is something that can really help you, you know, create opportunities to rise into leadership positions.
100%.
Yeah. Because you have the opportunity to ask questions of the people above you, to learn, to ask questions of the people around you, mm-hmm. to gain their perspective, their trust. And so that this is going to equip you mm-hmm. for that life of the middle manager
right.
someday. You know, just always to always be curious and ready to learn is a great mindset wherever yeah. you are.
And it will set you up for leadership success. I can tell you that for a fact.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. What else you got?
I think just some parting words yeah. for everybody. If anyone, you know, if everyone is everyone, if some of you are interested in sort of implementing this leadership style into mm-hmm. your work, I would just leave with some parting tips. Just to reiterate that belonging is key. You're mm-hmm. going to encounter people that you work with, whether they report to you or you report to them, or it's a lateral relationship. They are not going to respond well to curiosity. They're just mm-hmm. not. It's possible they don't see the value in it, and that's okay. So not everyone feels comfortable with that. So to just understand as you're interacting with individuals from a curious perspective, it's not always going to be received well, and it might blow up in your face. Be open. Accept that there is nuance in the world and not everything is black and white, and you may craft an assumption about something that you are just dead wrong on the cause and effect of it. So be open to possibility, be open to being wrong, understand the environment and the conduciveness and the acceptance of curiosity before you start going down that road, and ask more questions than you answer. Like mm-hmm. always have that posture of, I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. I don't have all the facts. I'm not all knowing, right? And so don't be afraid to be that leader who doesn't have all the answers and who is asking more questions of their people than is answering. Mm-hmm. People are coming to them. Like, obviously you want to be helpful, but don't be afraid to be the leader who's like, why is that the way that it is? Tell me more about why you did it this way. Like, show me your processes. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And maybe that's an easy way to start is if there is an openness and a conduciveness to curiosity, be like, oh, tell me how you got from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. Because you may even learn something along the way, because you're like, oh, it took me 5 steps to get from point A to point B, and you're telling me it took you 2. Like, walk me through this. Mm-hmm. And then you're a more efficient person in doing a role because you learned from somebody else.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That has happened to me.
Even if they're lower on the org chart, it happens all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much institutional knowledge.
Yes.
Even lower on the org chart.
Yeah. Than you realize.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And I would, so many gifts.
I assume.
Be curious, Erin.
She's about to be. Let her be curious.
Let her
Sarah.
Cook.
So we've talked a lot about asking questions, but I feel like also your willingness to receive how you respond to questions would also set essentially a model for people that it is okay to ask the questions. When you get asked a question, you can be like, I don't know.
100.
Yeah.
I tell my team all the time. I'm like, no question is off limits. Just be prepared for me to say, I don't know. And like, be okay with that.
Yeah. There's a real danger in sort of getting off balance in this, where you're always asking the questions, but you're not open to being questioned yourself.
Yeah, that's
someone asks you a question and you just respond, well, let me answer your question with a question.
The worst.
And it's not, I'm not going to act like I'm perfect about this. Sometimes I just don't want to be questioned, right? And it's, days are not all days are perfect, right? But when you keep coming back to this culture of, you know, building curiosity and building belonging and trust, it makes those days a little bit more tolerable. And you can be open with your team and being like, that was not okay the way that I responded or just completely ignored your situation. Hopefully you have a culture where your team could be like, hey, the way that you approached that situation by like answering this question of mine inappropriately or ignoring it, like that was not okay. Can we revisit this? So it's sort of a culture that like builds upon itself. It's not always perfect, but when you can stick to these values, it definitely leads to much team success.
It's the ultimate my door is always open kind of scenario. Is your door always open?
Boundaries are also very important.
That's an episode for another time.
That's part trace of Oddball Leadership.
Was just perfectly timed too.
Okay.
Wow.
Next time we'll talk about boundaries.
So you can ask Bree anything, and the answer might be here's the answer, or it might be I don't know, or it might be no, or it might be boundaries.
Ask, it's the magic eight ball. It's ask again later.
Yeah. Or don't.
Or don't at all. Yeah.
And that's a valid answer.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We hold these things in tension, you guys. We're Lutherans.
That's
we do
true.
This.
We love it. Mm-hmm. We love that space.
We love ambiguity. Mm-hmm. We love saying, I don't know.
That's true. Where can we find Oddball Leadership, Bree?
You can find the blog at oddballleadership.com. I send out a newsletter just about every week.
I get it. They're great.
That comes fresh to your inbox. I recently actually just wrote an interesting post about being at the LCMS convention, sitting on the floor for the proceedings, and how some environments are just not conducive to curiosity. like when you have 20 minutes to talk about a thing, or you only have 2 minutes at a microphone to talk about something, you don't have time necessarily to ask those deeper questions.
There's
right?
10 people in line and
Robert somebody calls a question.
A couple thousand people who are like, it's lunchtime.
Right.
Robert's rules, orders of the day.
Right. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Done.
So a very interesting post. If you want to subscribe, you do have to have a free subscription in order to read everything else you will hit a paywall, but it is free to subscribe. You can go to oddballleadership.com and sign up there. I'm also on LinkedIn. Haven't been posting as frequently as I would like there, but I am on LinkedIn as well at Oddball Leadership. Trademark is incoming. My yes. LLC paperwork is being processed.
Yes.
We have an online community that is being built with some more paid premium opportunities if you want to really dive in, roll your sleeves up, and dig into the Oddball Leader Labs. So that is coming as well. So yeah, Oddball Leadership, search for it on Google. Hopefully the right thing will come up. I think it will. It's pretty SEO'd
out. How's your SEO?
So.
Yeah.
My SEO's pretty good.
SEO, more like Messio. Oh! Not accusing you of that. Just no, thinking dude. Of like five I'm, other things in my life.
Honestly, I'm stealing that. Right. I am. So yeah. And again, email, shoot me an email, Bree@oddballleadership.com. I love talking about leadership development, community building, the things that plague the nonprofit sector. I'm in to hear about all of it and talk about it. So thank you for having me on the show again to talk about these things.
Of course. We love it. So, this is great.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Excellent. We'll put those links in the show notes so you can find previous Oddball Leadership. I guess it's only one at this point. So the previous Oddball Leadership episode, I'm sure there'll be more at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You can comment on this episode with anything you'd like to tell Bree if you don't have email and want to comment on Facebook. I don't know. You can comment on the episode or on our Instagram @Lutheran Ladies Lounge. It'll be on both of those places. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. Thanks for being here, Bree, by the way. I didn't say thanks.
You're welcome. It's
you. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us, too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.